Hello again. In previous chats, I have asked the questions, who am I and why am I here? And I've examined them from the perspective of what an ordinary woman in today's society might say, and then how I would answer them as a Christian woman. Today, I want to pose the final question and again answer it how an average woman might respond, and then what a Christian woman's response would be. Here then is the final question. Where am I going? I think the initial response might be, what do you mean? Are you talking about my aims and objectives in life? I hope you're not talking about that which we try to avoid mentioning at all costs. If you are, then you are now getting a bit morbid. Are you depressed or something? As for me, I'm not going to get old. It happens to others, but not to me. After all, age is just a number. Our average woman might say, I go to the gym, I watch my diet, and I use all the things that I see advertised that are guaranteed to give me eternal youth and stop me having a heart attack. I would really prefer not to think too much about the passage of time. It won't happen to me. Unfortunately, I am chatting to you today as a living example that it does happen to us all. I remember speaking to a group of young women when I was just hitting the 50-year-old mark. I told the ladies that my children refused to believe that I was that old. My younger son said to me, Mum, are you really 50? That's positively ancient. He was 23 at the time. Now that same son is 61 years old and looking forward to retirement. And I am not far short of 90. So I can categorically state that it happens to all of us. So if I really think about it, where am I going? Our average woman might say, I try not to think about it, but from time to time I have to confess it does intrude upon my thoughts. Like when a friend is killed in an auto accident, or a plane comes down, or a friend gets a devastating diagnosis, or when an elderly parent or grandparent passes away. We do not even like to use the word death, because it has such an awful finality to it. But if you really press me, I guess we're snuffed out like candles. Or if not, I guess that I'll be okay, because I try to live a good life and to help people. I haven't deliberately done anyone any harm. Some years ago, a 16-year-old high school friend of my daughter was killed in a cycling accident. As you can imagine, the other girls in her class were all devastated by this, and for several weeks there was much discussion about death and afterlife. The general consensus was that if there was an afterlife, then this girl would be okay, because she'd been a nice girl and a good girl. So our average woman would probably say that she does know where she is going in this life. She buys into the in words and ideas, self-expression, self-esteem, self-image, and self-fulfillment. She has her aims and goals that she wants to achieve to give herself some satisfaction. She pours herself into her family and friends and tries not to think about getting old. One could sum up these answers with these words: meaningless. Meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. We can see that attitude displayed in the arts, tuneless and formless music, paintings which are similar, plays and books which are full of despair. Yet, that quotation which I just read to you was written 3,000 years ago and is found in the Bible. It was written by a fabulously rich man who had and had done everything that he wanted, but just got old like everyone else. In fact, one could say that those words sum up a life without God. But then, when we look at the Bible, at God's direction for our lives, it seems almost impossible to live up to God's standards. Indeed, it is impossible to live up to God's standards. No one has done that except the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly the woman speaking to you now knows that she does not measure up to God's standards. No one living can claim to live up to God's standards. God is holy. That is why he asks us to be holy. Yet the fact that we fail so miserably separates us from him. So then we say to ourselves, well, I will try to reach God my way. I will do it my way. I will make up my own standards and try to live by them. And if there's an afterlife, I will hope that that will satisfy God and that he will accept me. After all, we're always being told that God is love. No, that is not so. God says in his word that we must do it his way. And what is his way? Let God tell us himself through his word. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. What do these things mean? It means that God knows that we cannot reach his standard, and he so loves us that he made a way for us to be reunited with him. He sent Jesus Christ to live a perfect life and to die on the cross in our place, so that we could be forgiven. I can only know forgiveness and reconciliation with God when I recognize my own failure and believe that Jesus Christ died for me and ask him to forgive me and take over my life. Only then will I be able to answer the third question, where am I going? I will be under new management, and for the rest of my life I will be seeking with his help to become more like him. I will never be perfect in this life, but the Lord Jesus will help me, strengthen me, forgive me when I fail, and I know that he will always be with me, because he has promised. I will not be afraid of death, because I know that he will be with me. He does not promise me an easy passage through life. In fact, because the world in general is hostile to the Lord Jesus, we may have to face not only the trials of life, but the hostility and persecution of those who do not like us to belong to Jesus. One day, shortly before his death, Jesus was talking to his disciples who were anxious and afraid. He said to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may also be." That is why a Christian is not afraid to die. In future chats, I will consider what the Bible has to say to us women about various aspects of life in this present century. Our personal relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ is foundational to that teaching. Being a Christian is nothing to do with a particular denominational label. Being a Christian is having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, as I have just described. If you do not have that personal relationship and want to have it, just simply speak to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Thank him for dying in your place. Ask him to forgive you and to take control of your life, and he will do just that. Then ask God to lead you to other Christians who can help you to grow in your new life in Jesus Christ. If you would like to know more, please contact me through the contact page of this website, and I will respond. God bless you.